It's time for Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt. Todd Marquardt, attorney at law in Texas. If you're a millionaire or a thousandaire, Talk Law Radio is now on the air. Call in with your business law question, your elder law question, veteran aid, Medicaid, build a business to get paid. 210-308-8867. Or ask a question online at marquardtlawfirm.com. That's M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-D-T, lawfirm.com. And now, it's Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt.
Welcome to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt here on 930 AM The Answer. Also on podcasts everywhere and Facebook Live and YouTube. So check out those channels and you can look for archived material also. Today we're going to be talking with Sandy Gennaro, a world-class speaker, drummer who has recorded and toured with several globally known artists, including three members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame during his career that spans 52 years and continues today. Now it's time to discover your legal issue blind spots by listening to me talk about the law on the radio. But before we continue, let's begin with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the gifts and blessings that you give to us. Please forgive us for our sins, for our mistakes, for doing the wrong thing or failing to follow your will. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to talk about the law on the radio. Please help Sandy Gennaro and me give good information about hidden legal issues in business and beating the odds in life. Help us to use the gifts and talents you have provided for the good of your people, for our own good, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I met Sandy Gennaro at a business summit called Vistage. Sandy was the keynote speaker this past April here in San Antonio. Vistage is an organization that facilitates peer advisory, group advice, one-to-one executive coaching, industry networks, and exclusive events. So, like I said before, Sandy Gennaro is a speaker and drummer. He's played with artists such as Cyndi Lauper, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, The Monkees, Bo Diddley, Johnny Winter, Montrose, the Pat Travers Band, Mark Farner, Benny Mardones, and Robin Gibb. They have all successfully experienced Sandy's expertise in the recording studio and on stage. Sandy's also transformed lives as a senior faculty member on the Collective NYC for 27 years, enabling musicians to perfect their craft and educating them on the business of music, the curriculum of which he created. Sandy now uses the lessons he's learned surviving the murky, shark-infested waters of the music business to help organizations large and small identify and offer solutions to issues regarding leadership, change management, employee retention, longevity, motivated engagement, customer service, brand loyalty, team building, and sales. He has helped businesses and student bodies create a thriving culture as a launching pad for heightened success in business, relationships, and life. He incorporates his unforgettable stories to drive home his proven concepts to create rock star performance in every arena. Companies, universities such as FedEx, Belmont University, Pacific Hotel Management, the U.S. Space and Rocket Center, Keller Williams, Southeast Business Forum, New Era Health and Life, National Association of Sales Professionals, Journey Team, Optimum Solutions, the Women's Council of Realtors, the Collective NYC, CBS Telecom, Montgomery College, SAE Institute have all energized and motivated by Sandy's interactive and high-energy Beat the Odds presentation. So without further ado, Sandy Gennaro, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Todd. I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate your time, and the only reason I was able to have the confidence and courage to ask you to do this is because of your presentation at Vistage. You said that I could accomplish anything I could put my mind to it, and I said, I want Sandy on my show.
It never hurts to ask any question.
That's right. So thank you so much for joining me. And I want to talk about your book and how to beat the odds in business and in life. And so give us an introduction about how to do that, and then we'll get in right into the letters there.
Well, how to beat the odds. Well, basically, you know, you talk about the acronym. The acronym is BEATS. It's BEATS, B-E-A-T-S. And I come to the realization that in addition to playing beats on a drum set for over a half a century, I've been living these principles day in and day out, 24/7, 365. And the acronym stands for belief, for B. E is enthusiasm. A is attitude. T is tenacity. And S is service to others. And basically, it's a combination of you applying those principles and weaving those principles into your fabric of your everyday life. And not because you want to get something for yourself. It's because you want to help other people. And thinking about the belief, enthusiasm, attitude, tenacity, and service in a positive mindset. That's how basically it's very, very simple. But a lot of people don't recognize the simplicity of how to basically live your life and how to beat the odds in business and in life.
Life can be hard sometimes, right?
Life can be very hard sometimes, you know. And but there's where there's breath, there's hope. And you know, I firmly believe that no matter how difficult a person's circumstances are, there are ways out of it. You know, there's always tomorrow. The sun will go up tomorrow, come up tomorrow, mm-hmm. And you know, it hurts when I see people actually lose hope to the state of to the extent of being totally 100% depressed, and especially when it gets to the extent of wanting to hurt yourself or end your life. It's very disheartening to see someone go through that. And you know, aside from any physical mental dysfunction, that from a mental medical standpoint, that person is challenged in a mm-hmm. certain way physically. If it's all just mental, it could be turned around, you know. And I got in a Vistage meeting one time, somebody that works for a nonprofit in a ghetto somewhere and deals with underprivileged kids. And she came up to me in a break and she said, you know, Sandy, you know, you're very positive outlook, but, you know, it's easy for you. In essence, I'm paraphrasing what she said. In essence, she said, you know, Sandy, with your life and you're on big stages and, you know, you have a nice house and it's easy for you to say that anybody can overcome their difficulties, but you haven't had many difficulties. And, you know, and I told her, you know, it's all relative, but, you know, there are people that are born in the ghetto to crack addicted mothers and who don't know who their father is. And they go out of their tenement apartment with roaches and rats infested apartment. And they go on the street and it's full of drugs and people doing drugs and having guns and all of that. But a person in that situation, and history will bear me out, and the internet will bear me out. Well, they people in that position have gone on to be senators, have gone on to be surgeons. You know, right. And then you get the kid looking in, you know, being a child of two doctors, for example, or two wealthy lawyers, for example, mm-hmm. that live in a great house that the parents are addicted to this drug or not that drug or whatever. And the kid ends up being inundated with just financial support. You know, they get anything they want or whatever, and they ended up being addicted to drugs, or they end up being, you know, convicted of this or that. You know,
it could happen either way.
It could happen either way. That's a long way of putting it, but I mean, how I described it is a long-winded way to put it. But no matter what your circumstances, if you're not afflicted physically, you can't control that. But if it's just a mental situation, a mental depression, there are ways out of it. If you have a breath in your body, there are ways out of it. And there are ways to get help if you take the initiative of trying to get help. I can go on and fill the hour fill the hour with that. But, you know, I think that life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I think that that people have, we were given, we God gave us, God does not give us any problem that he's already given us the wherewithal to overcome that problem.
Amen.
And it's just a test for us to see how bad we want the goal that we want.
We got to take a break, Sandy. We'll be right back.
Okay, thanks.
1 minute.
You plan your summer vacation because you want to make sure everything goes right, right? But have you planned for your estate? Why would you spend time and money planning your vacation but neglect your final affairs? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, but you can make sure everything goes right by planning for your death and taxes. The attorneys at Marquardt Law Firm can help. They can focus on business and estate law, including last wills, living trusts, and tax-protected inheritance plans. Call 210-530-4278, 210-530-4278, or marquardtlawfirm.com.
9:30 a.m. The Answer.
Welcome back to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt here on 9:30 a.m. The Answer, talking with Sandy Gennaro. And I want to mention our other sponsor, Financial Planning HQ. If you're looking for true financial planning to help you make the best decisions about your money, instead of trying to sell you overly complicated financial products, Financial Planning HQ can focus on creating a comprehensive strategy that gives you and your family the highest probability of achieving your goals. For a complimentary consultation with Joseph Warren from Financial Planning HQ, call 210-748-6699. Welcome back, Sandy.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Let's talk about the B in BEATS. Stands for belief. Tell us about belief in what?
Belief in a power greater than ourselves at work, in our lives. And I happen to call it a bit of God energy that we have inside. When human beings were born, we were born with a little bit of God energy inside of us. And people refer to it as a soul. And that's, in my estimation, that's what makes all human beings on the same level. Whether you live on a mansion and you're a billionaire or you're a janitor somewhere, everybody deserves the same amount of respect because we have that element of commonality. No matter what country we live in, no matter what color of our skin, no matter what our sexual preferences, no matter what our political preferences, we can all agree to disagree. And everybody has, by nature of definition, if we call ourselves a human being, we have a little bit of that God energy. But we're also given the power of choice, and we're also given the power of free will to choose what we want to believe in, to choose how we want to act, to choose our mental the perception of things that happen to us. So but a lot of people on this planet, and all you have to do is watch the news, they don't always subscribe to the God energy. When you're in league with the God energy, and to me, in all honesty, full disclosure, I don't believe that any one particular religion, let me put it this way. It's been said to me by some staunch radical religious people, well, if you don't belong to this religion, you're doomed. And I don't believe in that. I believe that all different religions on this planet all have a figure of a God energy. So to me, it's like having several different routes to the same destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not, to me, the only mistake people make is not believing in a God energy and not being atheistic. And I apologize for any atheist listening to this, but I think that you're doing yourself a very, very, you're doing yourself a disservice by believing in it.
How does believing in the God energy help you beat the odds in life?
Because believing in a God energy, you're basically aligning yourself with the power that created the universe. So if having that power in your corner, behind you, supporting you, because when you believe In it, it believes in you. Well, it believes in you whether you believe in it or not. Mm-hmm. The Lord. And when you align with that, it's like in my business, Todd, I get off the road with Cyndi Lauper, for example, playing arenas for a whole year and a half. And I look at my calendar when I get home, the first day home, and my calendar is empty. So it takes it. You know, where's the next gig going to come from? I don't have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. Mm-hmm. So to me, belief in a God energy is like putting the address. I have a goal in mind. Yes, I want to do this. I want to be on this stage. I want another big gig. You put that in your little GPS and then you press enter. And the God, you don't know the destination you're going to be led, and the people that are going to come into your path, and the ideas that you're going to get that you follow up on, and it turns out to be your connection to the next gig. Those ideas are positive ideas. Those people that come into your path in order to help you come from that God energy. To me, God is a spirit. It's not it's a spirit within us, and it's a spirit that surrounds us with ideas, good coming from the God energy. The more you don't know the path the GPS is going to take you. I don't know what's going to happen. I never thought I was going to be a speaker. I just got back from Malaysia speaking to 400 executives. I had no idea that was going to happen, but it's because of my positivity and because of my wanting a person in a wheelchair at a concert in San Diego, and I wanted to put a smile on her face. Out of 20,000 people, I picked this woman in a wheelchair to get my drumstick after my drum solo. And I'm not going to go into the full story, but throwing a drumstick, wanting to make that woman happy and wanting to put a smile on that woman's face led to my speaking career.
I have a
whole new career after I'm still playing drums, and I'll always, drumming is who I am. It's not what I do. And I'll always do that, and I'll always be able to teach that, and I'll always play in a rock band, which I do right now. But speaking is my career now. Speaking allowed me to tell my wife, you can stop working. It allowed me to do this or to do that. I have another career at 72 years old.
That's awesome.
And I had no idea. I had no idea when I played that concert in San Diego, when I threw the drumstick to the handicapped person. I had no idea what I was going to be when I wanted to come off the road. I had no idea. It puts people and ideas in your path, but you can't just believe and sit on the couch and wait for good things to happen. You got to be proactive about it, and you have to profess, that's why I love sharing these ideas with other people. And if you asked me 10 years ago, Cyndi, you're going to be on stage in front of 800 CEOs and in a Vistage Chair World conference, people from all over the world are going to hear you speak and give you a standing ovation. I'm going to go, what are you, tripping? But that's what happened. I'm sitting here just as amazed as the next person. So I use my own life as an example. And
so you mentioned your positivity is the next letter is enthusiasm. Is that what you're talking about?
That's correct. It's positivity and being enthusiastic about events that haven't happened yet. In other words, future events in my life. When I looked at the calendar the day after I get home from a tour and my calendar is empty, I could think, I can have the negative, the negative mindset where, where am I going to get? I'm never going to do that again. I was on, there's a negative, but I didn't say that to myself. It's being enthusiastic. I looked at my calendar. I go, I can't wait for the next gig. I wonder what the next gig is going to be. It's like looking at presents underneath the Christmas tree at 5 a.m. when you're 6 years old and you get up before your parents, mm-hmm. and you see all the presents underneath the dark Christmas tree. You don't know what's in those boxes, but you know it's going to be really cool to be able to rip open those boxes. So that's the way I look at the future, Todd. I look at the future like, okay, let's see what's let's see what's going to happen, but in a positive mindset. So we as human beings were given the power of choice of how to think about future events. And you can choose the glass is half empty, or you can choose the glass is half full, to use a well-worn cliche.
And so that's attitude then, right? The next letter, A?
Attitude is the way you think. Attitude is we have control. It's basically the way we think is the only thing we really have control over, is how we think in our own mind when we're on our pillow at night falling asleep. How we think, we have control of what we think. And we should, you know, and I'm not saying that all positive thoughts come into my mind 100% positive. No, everybody is inundated. You know why? Because the enemy is at work in our lives as well as the God energy. Mm-hmm. The enemy is wanting to pull us away from the God energy with temptation, with negative thoughts. But we have to have a thought police. We have to have I look at my thought process with a monitor. And if there's a negative thought coming in my mind, sometimes it's not easy, but I just hit the eject button, or I highlight and delete, or I go to the next channel on the remote. Mm-hmm. I don't try to entertain. You don't try to entertain negative thoughts, because when you entertain thoughts and you think about them often, and you, especially when you verbalize a negative thought to another person, it becomes very powerful. The more often you think about it, it's like watering a bad seed. Mm-hmm. And you're watering, and sunshine, the seed's going to manifest. So you got to be careful of what you think and how often you think it, because your thoughts turn into words, your words turn into action, your action makes up your personality. The way you act makes up your personality, and your personality is the way people perceive you. And you mentioned our little intro, legacy. Well, the way people perceive you is basically becomes our legacy. Yeah. And after we're pushing up daisies, when we're pushing up daisies or we're in an urn on a mantelpiece somewhere, that's how people are going to perceive us, is basically how we made them feel when we crossed their path. How did you make the person at the grocery store feel when he or she was checking out the groceries? Did you engage them? Were you rude to them? Did you make their day better? Or did you put a little ray of sunshine in the day by having a little quip or making a little joke about the groceries you're buying or whatever?
And so just the opposite of that, focusing on what you really do want, that can help manifest it as well, right?
Absolutely. It's having affirmations. It's using visualization. When you think about a future event, you visualize it in your own mind like you want it to occur. It's like you're programming the future by concentrating and visualizing the event that you want, and using enthusiasm. When you think about a result of an upcoming project or an upcoming family vacation or whatever an upcoming event is in your life that you want a successful result, well, then visualize that successful result and also summon up the enthusiasm as if that result actually occurs. So you receive a result of a future situation in spirit. You receive it in spirit. You internally mm-hmm. receive it. And then the God energy puts the puzzle pieces together and gives you ideas and puts people in your path in order to help you achieve what you want to do.
And that's,
I put a picture of a drummer playing in front of thousands of people on my bathroom mirror when I was 14. And I said to myself every single day, that's going to be you, Sandy. Not maybe, not if the chips fall, or, hey, well, let's see what happens. Well, if I get lucky, no, it's I am. Not I hope, I am. And I looked at that picture, and I even sometimes verbalized it audibly. That's going to be you, Sandy.
Awesome.
That's going to be you. That's going to be you. I had no idea how. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what the plan was. Who was I going to meet? But it happened, and it happened multiple times, and it happened in a really, really big way.
And people can read about it in your book called Beat the Odds in Business and Life. Buy it from Sandy's website, www.sandygennaro.com. That's sandygennaro.com. Get the book. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt here on 930 AM The Answer. We've been discussing business and life with Sandy Gennaro. He's got a book out called Beat the Odds in Business and Life. You can get it at www.sandygennaro.com, and you can read a lot more detail about how working with artists all over helped him to write this book and explain and change people's lives and transform lives into doing big, great things. So this is our third segment, and we like to talk about saints and sinners.
I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your...
So, Sandy, I wanted to talk about the sinner first. You've seen that Elvis movie, the new one, right, with Tom Hanks as the bad manager?
I have.
And you taught music business in New York, and so I wondered how you could combine those things today for the show. Just give the listeners some background on how to solve that problem with bad managers in the music business.
Well, the number one advice I have is that don't sign anything until you have a lawyer look at it. That's that's the number one business advice I can give any musician or anybody that has been given some sort of an agreement, a binding agreement or a contract to put in front, because that was, you know, a contract or an agreement was the tool that a lot of the sinner managers used, especially early on in the 50s, early 60s, where they had poor, very poor, literally poor, unsuspecting artists trying to make it. And I worked for this one particular artist, and there were several, but Bo Diddley, you know, people like Chuck Berry, Little Richard, all of those iconic names from the 50s and early 60s, they were poor at the very beginning, and they were, you know, trying to get their first big break in the music business. And when they come along to a manager that says, sign this, I'll pay you $400 a week. Just sign this agreement and you won't have to worry about money the rest of your life. Now, when you're poor, and in Bo's case, a poor black man that wasn't really that educated and knowledgeable, mm-hmm. when he heard that he was going to be making $400 a week instead of sitting on a sidewalk in Chicago with his guitar case open, hoping people would throw some change in his guitar case, he actually signed the agreement. Mm-hmm. No lawyer, no representative. He's by himself. But he hears the $400
a
week.
That was a lot of money.
And a tremendous amount of money. It was like, I would have just guessing it would be the equivalent of about $1,200 a week now or $1,500 a week. This is like 70 years ago in the 50s, you know? So that was the situation with a lot of unscrupulous sinner managers, to get them to sign an agreement. And I'm not 100% sure that was very much unlike Elvis with Colonel Parker. So what Bo Diddley was signing was he was signing the rights to all his future songs to this unscrupulous manager. So meanwhile, Bo Diddley becomes very famous, mm-hmm. and his songs are being covered by other artists. That rhythm is Bo Diddley rhythm, and mm-hmm. it was covered, you know, songs were used that rhythm anyway. Many times. And so Bo Diddley was missing out on all the publishing. It's like when you give away your publishing to songs, you're giving away the rights to the song. Mm-hmm. And when you're an artist, when Bo Diddley was singing his hits, it was like renting an apartment, where the publisher, the unscrupulous manager that was getting all of his publishing, the rights to his songs, was like owning the mortgage to the house.
I see.
You know, that's the difference between owning the publishing. It's quite an extensive subject when you talk about publishing rights, writer's royalties, and performance rights. Those are three different avenues you can collect residual income in the music business. And Bo Diddley and a lot of artists in that case, and especially in that time period where they were just not reading what they were writing, mm-hmm. was signing, gave away a lot of the ownership to their songs. And at the end of his career, I worked for Bo Diddley the last 5 years of his life. And towards the end of his career, his manager, Margo Lewis, was in the process of getting a lot of that royalty back, you know, in retrospect for Bo Diddley. And then he was in the process of reaping the benefits of his 50-year career. And he, you know, he was 78 when he passed away and whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the first advice I give to any young musician, no mm-hmm. matter what business you're in. If you're given an agreement, if you're given a lease, if you're given something to sign, a binding agreement, man, at least read it.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand a lot of the legalese, then bring it to an attorney. Bring it to Todd Marquardt's attorney firm, and he'll sort it out.
Yeah, thank you for the plug there.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So who are the saints of the music industry then?
Let me just add something about Colonel Parker.
Okay.
It's well known within the music business that he came to America. If you notice in that Elvis movie, Colonel Parker didn't have a passport.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, he never allowed Elvis to go abroad to play. He only played in America.
Mm-hmm.
And when the only time Elvis went abroad was when he was in the army. And he went to Germany, but he wasn't performing over there. And the reason why is that rumor has it, and it's a rumor that's been going around for a long time, is that Colonel Parker was under suspicion of, there was a murder somewhere in the Netherlands, wherever he was from, the Netherlands or Amsterdam or wherever he was from, he was under suspicion of some sort of manslaughter or a murder. So he fled the country and came to America. And actually, I think he was here illegally or whatever. But that's why he didn't get a passport. And that's why he never wanted Elvis to go abroad. Because once he went back over there, he wasn't able to come back to America.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it was clear in that movie.
It wasn't clear. It was clear that he didn't want Elvis to go abroad.
Right.
And Elvis still stated that, I want to go play in Japan. He would have made a killing over there.
Yeah.
But so, you know, that it was very important for Colonel Parker not to have Elvis leave the country, in spite of the fact that how much money Colonel Parker was going to make at getting 50% of whatever Elvis made. That contract was totally unscrupulous. Where Elvis, mm-hmm. I don't know for sure, but I assume Elvis signed it without really reading it or having a third party attorney read his management contract, because he gave the lion's share of his income away. He was basically an indentured servant.
So tell us about who the saints in the music industry are.
Okay, the saints in the music business. One guy was Joan Jett's manager. His name is Kenny Laguna. And if there's a saint in the music business, in terms of the way he treats his band and the way his association with Joan Jett from the very, 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 very beginning, he saw something in Joan Jett early on in the 70s in L.A. when she was a member of this band, this all-girl band called the Runaways, and they were just trashed to the side as a novelty act. They couldn't get any. So Joan Jett left that band, went solo. She met Kenny Laguna. They became his business partners. And Kenny tried to get her a record deal in America. Couldn't get arrested in America. And so he brought Joan to England and ended up finding They couldn't get arrested in England either. But they said, you know what? The hell with these record companies. We'll start our own record label. And they started Blackheart Records. They found the song "I Love Rock and Roll," and that was the beginning of her career. So I can personally, I have personal experience having worked with Joan Jett, and the way Kenny Laguna treats Joan's band and the way Joan treats her band is the reason why bands stay with her for a long, long time, because she makes the band feel that they were a very, very valuable part of the organization. And she's a very wise business woman, as is Cyndi Lauper, very, very wise. David Wolf, Cyndi's manager at the time when she was huge in the 80s, he was another saint in the music business because he made some promises to me. He wanted me, I was coming off an arena tour, and he wanted me to join Joan Jett's band, as you heard in the presentation in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And he promised me, he goes, "Sandy, I'm going to be up front. I can't pay you what you deserve. You got to share rooms at the very beginning." But he really wanted me in Joan Jett's and in Cyndi's band. And as a result, I took a leap of faith and shared rooms and worked for a paltry salary. But when Cyndi made it and she became the star that she is, he took care of us. So he followed up. Kenny Laguna, a man of his word. David Wolf, a man of their word. And they made the band feel appreciated, which makes the band work harder for the artist. So it's a self-fulfilling thing. Why treat the band well, and they will play their butts off for you.
And that's one of the examples you use to help business owners beat the odds.
Correct. We gotta make your people feel that they're part of the success of your organization.
We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Plan your summer vacation because you want to make sure everything goes right, right? But have you planned for your estate? Why would you spend time and money planning your vacation but neglect your final affairs? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, but you can make sure everything goes right by planning for your death and taxes. The attorneys at Marquardt Law Firm can help. They can focus on business and estate law, including last wills, living trusts, and tax-protected inheritance plans. Call 210-530-4278, 210-530-4278, or marquardtlawfirm.com.
9:30 a.m. The Answer.
Welcome back to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt here on 9:30 a.m. The Answer, talking with Sandy Gennaro. He was the drummer for some big names, and now he's speaking all over the world. He just got back from Malaysia, and you can learn more about his experiences in his book, Beat the Odds in Business and in Life, by going to his website, www.sandygennaro.com. That's www.sandygennaro.com, where you can purchase a book, you can get your own drumsticks like I have, and learn all the specifics about how Sandy has lived his life and the lessons that he learned and teaches to others now, and he might transform your life. And since this is the fourth segment, we like to talk about legacy.
And now, it's time for the Talk Law Radio Legacy Spotlight. What's your legacy? Sponsored by Marquardt Law Firm.
There's a theme that I've noticed in reading your book, Sandy, and listening to you speak and watching the videos on your website, and that's your desire to transform lives. And so if I had to talk to a friend about what Sandy Gennaro's life was all about, I would say, I think that he was here to transform lives. Would that be accurate to you?
I think it would be. I think that would be transform lives in a positive way.
And
but
so
you can also transform a life in a negative way.
Yeah, that's true. So how did you develop that? How did this come to you?
It's who I am. It's you know, it's It's not that I read a book and I want to use the knowledge in a book. It's just basically who I've always been. Mm-hmm. I things that happen in my life, I basically just have a positive slant of the future. And when I mentioned before the belief in the God energy, that has been a major proponent of my success, because the God energy and my belief in my assignment, my assigning myself to the God energy and surrendering to the God energy is like having a rudder on my boat. I don't really know where the boat is going, but it's got direction. Mm-hmm. And the God energy gives me that direction. And I like to think that when people remember me, they after I'm dead and gone, they will remember the fact that not only was I an instrument of their pleasure in the sense where I was able to play drums in a concert that they saw and they had a great time and they went home having a great time telling their friends about the concert. And I was the drummer in that band. They might not mention me by name, but they might mention a Cyndi Lauper or a Joan Jett or a Bo Diddley or Mamas and Papas or Monkees or whatever. But I was the engine of that car on that stage and in that concert. So not only for the musical legacy that I leave, but if personal. I had no idea what I was going to do when I retired. But again, because of my interest in putting a smile on somebody's face and throwing a drumstick to a handicapped person in a wheelchair led to my speaking career. And that's what allowed me now, because that's the way the God energy works. The God energy placed that person in a wheelchair in that gig in San Diego out of 20,000 people. I was inspired to give a drumstick to that person. And why? Why was that person there in the first place? She's handicapped. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole rhyme or reason about the events that happen in our lives. Like, the God energy to me, using an easy to understand metaphor, is like the Wizard of Oz, mm-hmm. behind the curtain, working the right dials and on your behalf, because you subscribe. And because the God energy, when you align with that positivity of the God energy, the God energy wants you to provide more of that. Right. So the God energy gives you opportunities, gave me opportunities because of my feeling of wanting to put a smile on that handicapped person's face. Now I want to put a smile in front of a room full of CEOs at a convention, a Vistage Summit in San Diego or a Vistage Summit in San Antonio. It enables you, it gives you more wherewithal in order to provide that positivity. And that's, I'm along for the ride. To me, I'm living life with a wind to my back. I wake up in the morning, what good is going to happen today?
Well, tell us about the last two letters in BEATS, tenacity and service.
Well, tenacity comes because problems, and we were talking about this before, where problems happen to everybody. So you have to realize, once you realize in your own mind that when a problem happens to you in your life on your way to a goal or whatever, it's there to teach you a lesson. It's not to push you into the ground and defeat you. It's there for you to learn how to do something better or how to do something differently. You know, we're not all masters of our own universe. Sometimes we make a mistake in the way we think and the way we do stuff. So a mistake happens, a problem happens as a result of that. So on my way up in the music business, I've had a lot of different problems and I've made a lot of mistakes, but my mistakes that I've made, I've tried to learn from them. And as a result, you become, you should never stop learning, mm-hmm. in your life, because when you stop learning, you become stagnant. And the next day is like you're on the downward side of the hill. Mm-hmm. You know, when you keep learning and interest in learning and being open and being open-minded to learn new things, no matter if you're 17 or you're 77, you're in an upward trajectory. So tenacity gives you the, when you have a staunch belief and you're enthusiastic and your attitude is positive, it gives you the tenacity to overcome your problems.
Okay.
You know, and again, the last one is service. to me, service to others. I feel that I could be a rock star drummer and playing in front of 100,000 people. But when afterwards, if I'm out and going on the way to the bus and this little person asks me for an autograph or a drumstick or whatever, or a selfie, I'm there for them. I use my ability and the gift that I've been given to play drums with famous people or to speak in front of a room full of CEOs in Malaysia. I'll use that to put a smile on somebody's face when they want to smile. You know, the feeling that I get, hey, can I have a selfie with you? Sure. I get excited. I never lost enthusiasm about, hey, man, I'm a friggin' drummer, mm-hmm. You know? And their CEOs, in charge of a $1 billion business wants a selfie with me. You know, I consider that a privilege. I never lost sight of that. And I'm always there signing whatever you want me to sign, whatever. Speaking about signing, you mentioned my book and I do appreciate that very much, Todd. If they go to my website, you'll get a signed copy of the book.
Yeah.
You can always go to Amazon and get a book, you know, Amazon Prime, you'll get it the next day, but it won't be signed. But so, yeah, I'm always willing to do that. And that's basically it.
That's awesome. But there's more in the book about service and your beliefs about how that helps you overcome the odds in business and life. So can you say more about that?
There's a slide in my presentation and it says, helping one person may not change the world, but it may change the world for that one person. Helping one person. And my helping one person, Dave Wolf, in a doorway by signing, I didn't have to. I was in a hurry. I signed an autograph for him. I stopped and engaged him. I posed for a picture with him. He asked me to get him a gig in New York City. I was in Connecticut at the time, playing a gig, and he asked me to do, hey buddy, can you whatever. I gave him my card. I gave him my home address and my home number, in order for me to help him get a gig in New York City. 3 years later, he turns out to be Cyndi Lauper's manager, finds this girl. And not only did it change my life because he asked me to join Cyndi's band as a result of my attention to him in that doorway 3 years earlier, but on that tour with Cyndi Lauper, it was the biggest tour of 1984. I met the woman that I'm still with today, 39 years later.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So, and you heard that story at the summit.
Yeah, you met your wife at one of the concerts.
That's correct. But I only played that concert because I engaged with the guy that managed the Cyndi Lauper, mm-hmm. 3 years earlier before he even knew who Cyndi Lauper was. Cyndi Lauper was nowhere to be found anywhere, mm-hmm. before anybody knew who she was, before she was an unknown person trying to get a gig. And he ended up meeting her at a party somewhere, became her manager, and then end up thinking about me and the concert that he saw me at 3 years earlier. And because I engaged him in the doorway, he said, Sandy, you were so nice to me in that doorway. I want you to be that you would fit personally with her perfectly. And that's how I joined the band. And, it's like, if you look for opportunities, you know, and the question that I ask the listeners is, how many Daves in the doorways have you passed up because you were too busy, or because you were too full of ego that you think you were too good to engage this one person, or, you know, throw a quarter in a guitar case when somebody's busking on the sidewalk, you know, a homeless guy, give him a dollar or whatever. It'll come back to you. You know what, Todd? Because I firmly believe that no good deed goes unrewarded, whether it's telling somebody a joke and putting a smile on somebody's face, or nodding their head hello when you pass somebody in a supermarket.
Yeah.
Or whether you're giving somebody's life-changing advice and they end up taking your advice and it changes their life in a positive way. No positive engagement goes unrewarded, and conversely, no negative engagement goes unpunished.
Oh, wow.
in a matter of degrees,
right.
Because life in my belief to the core, life is a balance. Life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whatever you send out is going to come back and hit you in the butt, whether it's positive or negative. This is how you swim with the tide, along with the tide. This is how you live when you wake up in the morning. This is how you live with the wind to your back. It becomes effortless. And if you wake up in the morning and you're stressed out and you're wondering and your life is one big drag to you, well, then you may want to self-assess your belief in the God energy. Number one, your positive enthusiasm about future events. Your attitude, make it positive. The glass is always half full. And as long as there's a breath in your life, there's a hope. And your tenacity to overcome problems. And the service to others. Think outside yourself with a sense of altruism and a sense of empathy. Look at somebody else through their eyes before you criticize them.
Thank you so much.